May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our God, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Please be seated. Well, it's interesting how Mark's gospel starts off, because it starts off with the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And then he starts with John the Baptist. And from John the Baptist, we learn the perfect Advent theme. It's all about preparation. And even from John the Baptist's own behavior, his life, we learn what's important. First of all, here we have John the Baptist, over here we have God. And what does he do? He really does. He makes his path straight. So it goes like a straight line right from John the Baptist to God. For ourselves sometimes, or maybe I should just speak for me, but the line from me to God isn't exactly straight. I might decide, you know, and not just in youth, maybe in adulthood. I might decide to go off this way a little bit. Might decide to go off that way a little bit, and then back and forth and back and forth. But eventually, God willing, it leads totally to God. And that's what preparation is all about. That's what Advent is all about. And what are the two things that we learn? Repentance and forgiveness from John the Baptist. Repentance is not just saying, oh yeah, I sinned. Repentance is not only saying, oh, I'm really sorry, or I feel bad about it. Repentance is not only confessing our sins to God and expecting, which we can do, expect God's forgiveness, because we get it when we're sincere. But repentance is when we actually change our behavior. When we do it about face, when I say, okay, you know, I've been doing this, I need to not do this. Now, just because I might do it again, or somebody else, you know, might do the same sin again, that doesn't mean we're you know, a hopeless situation. But what it means is we have to return again to the Lord, and again, and again, and again. The other thing that we learn from John the Baptist is, of course, repentance, and then how we want to go to God. But what does he do? He has such humility. In just in this section here in the gospel, he teaches us that he needed to take the attention he was getting as a prophet of God from him, and then putting it back to what God was going to do, to put the attention not directly towards him, but back to God the Father and back to Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Savior. So he says, the one who is more powerful than I is coming after me, and I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thongs of his sandals. And I think we've probably all heard this many times, but slaves were the ones who would untie the master's shoes or sandals. So John the Baptist was explaining he wasn't even good enough to do that. That is humility. And so then he goes on and he teaches them. He said, I've baptized you with water. In other words, you have come up, said you've sinned, asked for forgiveness, and washed you with the water from baptism. But the Messiah is the one who is going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. When we have repentance, when we have righteousness, when we have the forgiveness of our sins, then we have reconciliation. And there's nothing more powerful, more energizing, more exciting than knowing that we have been forgiven by our Lord and Savior, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So, remember when we baptized Jasper, we had baptisms all along. Whenever we have a baptism, that's not an end, that's a beginning.
That's a lifetime of preparation starting to be closer to God, to have knowledge of God, and to realize eventually that we belong to God. We are His children right now. So for us, we know that Advent is a time for repentance, changing of behavior. And like I said before, not only knowing our sin and confessing it, but changing. Advent is a time, like our colleague tells us, to make an effort. To sit down, to stand up, to be driving in the road, maybe walking to school, maybe working, but to think to ourselves, okay, I am going to get ready this Advent. I'm going to be different this Advent. I'm going to know that I'm God's child, act like it, and try to improve in our hearts, in our souls, and our bodies. And why do we do that? Because we love God. Advent is a time for us to listen, a time for us to sit and wait. If you can, every day, just take a couple of minutes, even if it's 1 minute, start with 30 seconds, just sit and just realize how much God loves each and every one of us with who we are, with our sins, with our failings, and then appreciate that. That's something to celebrate and be excited about. And Advent is a time for anticipation and joy because we have the joy of the Lord. We know that God fulfills His promises. He keeps His promises. We know that God has sent Jesus Christ to give us our salvation. Advent is also a time to celebrate and anticipate because we can expect the second coming of Jesus Christ. Do we really expect it to come this afternoon? Well, probably not, but it might. If Jesus was going to come this afternoon, I think to myself, would I do anything different? We can all ask ourselves that. Because it is joy, it is excitement, it's a promise given to us, it's a vow made to us, and God always fulfills His promises. His promise of forgiveness, His promise of salvation, His promise of reconciliation, His promise of love, and us being with Him for all time. And to end 2 Peter, this is a good one because this tells us what we're so excited about. What kind of God do we have? The Lord is not slow about His promise, as some think of slowness, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. In other words, God is giving us extra time for us to sit, to wait, to listen, to get to know Him, and to change, because He doesn't want to lose any of us. He wants all of us to come to Him and know His love and His salvation. God is patient, and it's a good thing. But there's a little bit of warning that the day of the Lord will come like a thief. So we need to be aware. We need to be alert. Not wait till tomorrow, but right now, right in church, realize when we go to communion, we have Jesus Christ inside of us. We have the Holy Spirit inside of us. God is in our midst, and He never lets us down. For us, as being His children, we don't have to fear the second coming. Like 2 Peter, it says, in accordance with His promise, we wait for the new heavens and the new earth, where righteousness is at home. Righteousness and peace, as the song said. Where was it? Mercy and truth have met together, and righteousness and peace have kissed each other. righteousness, and peace. In other words, they fed off of each other, because kisses started off with actually feeding, you know, one person to the other. That's where the lips would meet. So if we're righteous, we'll have peace. And that's what God wants us to have. That's what God wants us to share. That's what God wants us to know for sure, that He loves us and never abandons us. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the blessings you give us. We also thank you for your patience, your forgiveness. Help us to become more aware of our own sins, not others, but our own. Help us to become aware of the needs of others. Help us to become more aware of your perfect love for us and our salvation that you have given us. And help us to return that love to you and all others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.